Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by today's message. We also invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go live into the message. Let's go to the Word of God. I'm going to preach something I preached in the first service, and I got a little sideways in the first service, and I got to one point, and I just got some things off my chest. I'm going to do better this service, and I'm going to stay more focused on these notes. But should the Spirit lead me again, we will take a right turn, and we'll preach about can I versus should I. But before we get there, let's go to 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Very familiar and popular scripture, but we're going to break this down in a way that you maybe have never read it. Beloved, John writes, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I want to preach this morning on the subject, above all, subtitled, Prosperity in Everything. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, above all, prosperity in everything. You may be seated. How many of you can just declare I'm living my best life right now? That's what I'm living better now than I've ever lived. I can say that. My marriage is stronger today than it has ever been. My kids are doing better today than they've ever been. My money is better today than it's ever been. I'm preaching better today than I've ever preached. Y'all did all right there. That was all right. I'm living the life that I believe that God has made available, but there is more. And the Bible uses words like prosper. The Bible uses words like success. And in the Western world, we have been conditioned because of people like the Kardashians. I hope to God you're not trying to keep up with them. That's a race to the bottom, not to the top. Thank you for that amen back there. I'm not trying to keep up with the Joneses. I'm not. Success is not defined by Hollywood or the E! Network. Success is not defined by what Hollywood would tell me or some sports person would tell me or some politician would tell me. Success and prosperity are defined in the Word of God. But we have been conditioned in the Western world and in church especially. I listen to a lot of preachers, a lot of good preachers. I listen to a lot of good preachers. I listen to a lot of bad preachers. I listen to a lot of good preaching. I listen to a lot of bad preaching. I listen to a lot of good teaching. I listen to a lot of bad teaching. And the moment it turns bad, I turn it off because I don't want that becoming a pillar in my life. I don't want that to be part of my foundation or part of my makeup. But there are so many people that I preach about prosperity with no responsibility. And if God's going to prosper you, there is some responsibility that goes hand in hand, that God's not going to bless you. We're very quick to say that God will not put on us more than we can bear. He will not tempt us or test us beyond our ability to handle that. But I believe it's on the flip side, too, that God will not bless you beyond your responsibility. Let me say that again. God will not bless you beyond your responsibility, meaning this: God knows what you do with $100 million. That's why you don't have it, why I don't have it, because God blesses us at the point that we're able to carry it, because if it crushes us, it is not a blessing. It turns into a curse, and God is not one to curse us. God wants to bless us. So when we hear like words success and prosperity in the Western church, or in our society and culture, we automatically relate success to dollar signs. 5,000 square foot houses, Maseratis, and all of those types of things. And so some people in the church have become anti-prosperity. When the Bible talks about success and prosperity, it is not just talking about more money, bigger houses, and nice cars. That might be a very minute part of it, but when God talks about success and prosperity, he is talking about a totality in your life. That everything that you are involved in enjoys success. That everything that my hand is involved in enjoys prosperity. Because I'm here to tell you that more important than money is your marriage. More important than money is your kids. More important than money is your ministry, is your purpose, is what God has called you to have. Health is way more important than money. My dad has always told me, if you don't have family problems and you don't have health problems, you don't have problems. Some people get upset with that because, well, I need more money. You can always make more money. You can get a third job. You can take a second shift. You can rob a bank. Don't do that. You can play the lottery. Don't do it, but if you do, do it and win. Remember tithe. But there's a lot more important things, and so success is defined. And I just want to ask the question, and I know it's a rhetorical question at least, but I want somebody to make some noise. How many of you want to be successful? Make some noise. How many of you want to be prosperous? Make some noise. How many of you own a business? Raise your hand. Make some noise. Any business owners? How many of you want? Someone said not yet. I love that. They're on their way. How many of you want to own your own business? How many of you have a business you want to sell? I'll talk to you after church. Joshua chapter 1 might be the greatest chapter on entrepreneurship, on business, on life, success, and prosperity of any chapter in the Word of God. This is what Joshua said. And remember, this is before they went into the promised land. This is their time of preparation. Joshua 1 verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all the law. Anytime you see the word law in the Old Testament, it is indicative or it equates the Word of God. So when it says to observe to do all according to all the Word, it says that you have to do all of the Word of God before you can step into a place of prosperity or the promised land that they're about to abide and inhabit. Said you have to observe to do all. Now, to do the Word of God, you have to know the Word of God. To know the Word of God, you've got to meditate on the Word of God. To meditate on the Word of God, you've got to read the Word of God. If you are only getting your Word on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock, you are starving. If the only time you pray is over your food or give thanks is one idle Thursday in November, you're starving. Because if you are going to be the believer God has called you to be, you're going to have to talk to him every day. You're going to have to praise him like David 7 times a day. You're going to have to be like Joshua, meditating on the word day and night. The problem is most of us don't meditate, we taste. We taste the Word of God, but we don't meditate. Meditate means I taste and I chew and I swallow and I digest. The protein that you eat does not work in your life until it has passed your mouth and gone into your stomach. But what happens is a lot of us, I'm about to get sideways. The happens is a lot of us get to the place where on Sunday morning the preacher preaches prosperity and success and the Word, and we chew it up and it tastes good, and on the way out we spit it out in the parking lot and we keep living like we're living, and we wonder why we're not successful and prosperous, because all we did was we tasted the Word. We didn't digest the Word. Verse 7. We got to finish it. According to all the law, Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from the right nor the left. Do not lose focus on the Word of God. The Word of God is our focus. You focus on the Word, you focus on Jesus. You focus on the Word, you focus on vision, on purpose, on destiny for your life. And I love this, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Prosperity is not a place. You do not arrive at prosperity. See, when you were 18, you thought, if I can get a job where I'm making $75,000 a year, I will have arrived. You never arrive while you're on this earth. as believers, we are always adapting to what God has called us to, and we are moving to a new place. And when God does this, he set me up for that. And when I get to that, he's called me over here for this. And so prosperity is not someplace I live in. Prosperity is someplace that I have. It's something that I have, meaning wherever I go, I can be prosperous. That excites me because it means I'm prosperous on the mountaintop. I'm prosperous in the valley. If prosperity was a place, the people of God would move there and then they'd never move again. But for us, we understand if I digest the word of God, I observe it and I do it, there is a promised level of prosperity that is with me wherever I go. And remember the verse that we started off today, above all, I wish that you would prosper. Not that you would arrive to a place, but that you would get the revelation that prosperity is who I am. That more than enough is what I contain. That I'm never at a loss for words. I'm never at a loss for hope. I've got it. I'm never at a loss for joy. It's unspeakable. I'm never at a loss for peace. It's without understanding. I'm never at a loss for anointing. It is his super on my natural. I'm never at a loss for praise. 7 times a day will I praise him. I'm never at a loss for worship. I've got an alabaster box. I'm never at a loss for the word. I put it in me when I don't need it. It is there when I do. I'm never at a loss for the fellowship of the saints. That's why I'm here Sunday, Wednesday, and Saturday. I'm never at a loss. Why? Because I'm prosperous wherever God places me. Whithersoever thou go. Now to verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. This is kind of contrary, it seems, that what I'm preaching on Wednesday, that we've got to say it to see it. Because here Joshua says, don't say it, meditate on it. What he's really saying is don't get it out of order. You should never say something you haven't meditated about. And when we start speaking before we have meditated, we are speaking on something that we think we know about, but we don't know about. And when we think we know, but we don't really know, and we speak to mountains, mountains don't move, and now we're frustrated because God said we could speak to the mountain. Yeah, God did say when you speak to the mountain, it will move, but you have to have meditated and digested the word that when you speak it, you speak from a place of faith and not from a place of, I hope the mountain moves. That thou mayest observe, here it is again, observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, and only then mean as a result of, after time has passed, it will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Prosperity and success come down to the word of God. Not 10 steps from some secular person. Not 8 steps from some person who thinks they know. But it comes straight from the word of God. That's why I love people like Dave Martin. That's why I love people like Dave Ramsey, because they've taken the wisdom that they have from the word of God and they've applied it to worldly issues and they've made their world match his word. Because when you take your world and make it bow to his word, you're going to see God creep up in every place of your life. If you need God in your marriage, there's a word for that. If you need God in your school, there's a word for that. If you need God in your mind, there's a word for that. If you need God in your emotions, there's a word for that. And so when you say, I don't know what to do, you're not really saying, I don't know what to do. You're saying, I don't know what the word says about that. Because if you knew what the word says, you would rest in the peace that God's got it all in control, and I can declare the word of God. I can focus the word of God. Somebody ought to say amen right there. I can focus the word of God on my situation, and my situation has to bow to the word of God, because the word is God. So this is what John says. And John, we know, is being breathed and been inspired by the Holy Ghost. And so this is what God's saying. He said, above all, I wish. He said, above all, I wish all things. I wish above all things. This is not a wish as in a genie. How many of you seen the new Aladdin movie? There's 3 of y'all. Was it any good? I can't take Blue Will Smith. I can't take it. But God is not a genie. You don't rub the altar three times and he pops out and says, you got three wishes. When the writer says, I wish, what he's saying is my expectation for you. My prayer for you. This is John being inspired by God to pen the phrase, I wish, I expect, my prayer above everything else in life. Remember this, he's talking to believers. So they're already saved, because that's the number one thing, is for you to say yes to Jesus. Saved gets you to heaven. I said this in the first service, and people looked at me cross-eyed. Getting saved does not mean you'll be blessed. Getting saved means you get to go to heaven. Living a life and making Jesus the Lord of your life, that's what gets you blessed. Don't get it twisted. Just because you get saved doesn't mean that everything's going to fall into place. Remember, if God's going to bless you and give you prosperity, there has to be some responsibility. This is what God said. I wish above all things, my expectation for you is to prosper. Prosperity. Number one, to prosper. That word prosper means three things. The first thing it means is success on your journey. Prosperity means success in your everyday life of faith. See, it's important that we love and we learn to love the local church, because the local church, called Living Way in this case, is what we call a faith family or a faith community. It's who we do life with. That's why when you get married, you'll have a lot of people from church at your wedding if you are really planted. When you have a baby, they're going to give you all kinds of congratulations. Should the Lord take you before his comeback and before the second coming and we're raptured away, and should you lay in a casket right before this platform, there's going to be a whole lot of church folk. Why? Because we are a faith family and a faith community, and it is important on your faith journey to have success in that journey to be planted. And so when he says, above all, I want you to have success on your journey, he says, the way that I've called you to go, I want you to have success, but you are going to have to put your feet in the steps that I've ordered, and when you do that, you will find good success. Success on your journey. Number two thing it means is success in reaching. In reaching, we talk about our goals, what's in front of us. I hope to God that we as a church have goals. I've got such great vision for this church. Vision that if I shared the vision right now, it would be too much for some people. It's wild. It's crazy. It's out there. I've shared it with my wife. I've shared it with my kids. I've shared it with Bishop and Pastor Becky. But some of the greatest vision God's given me, I've shared it with nobody but my prayer closet, because it's too crazy. But when I wake up and I look at my bank account, and then I look at what God's called me to do. Remember, God never looks at your checkbook and then looks at what he's called you to do. He never takes that into an account or offer that as an opinion, because what God calls you to is always going to be greater than the resources you have. But when I wake up and I say, God, if your expectation is to prosper me and for me to reach the vision and goals you have before me, then God, I'm going to do all I can on this journey, but I'm going to lean into you to make up the slack where I am lacking and I can't physically get it done. And the third thing, I love this for all you business owners out there. The third thing, and this is from the Greek, from Hebrew, prosper means success in business affairs. Deuteronomy 28:12 says, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. That was a good place to say amen. That means that God's giving you the power of attorney on his bank account. His good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his seat in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand. Everybody always talks about the Midas touch. You don't need the Midas touch, you need the Jesus touch. And Jesus said, above all, my expectation for you is to have the Jesus touch, that you have prosperity in all areas of your life, and whatever your hand touches, I'm going to make work for you. That's a place to get excited right there. Whatever your hand touches. That's why we believe in the laying on of hands, because there is a transfer. And when I start laying my hands on things, whether it's at my job, whether it's my marriage, whatever my hand finds to do, God said, I'm going to bring you prosperity in that moment. So that means every time I hug my little girl, I'm laying my hands. And God said, all right. He said, this is the Father's business, and I'm going to bless that girl. I'm going to anoint that girl. Every time me and Mandy share a loving embrace, I'm touching her and she's touching me. And God said, I'm going to make this marriage prosper. I'm going to not let the devil tear it asunder. I'm not going to let the devil mess it up. That's why the next time you walk in your job, you ought to touch everything in that office. Touch every stapler. Touch every cubicle. Touch the water cooler. Touch the refrigerator. Why? Because I'm anointed. God's given me a powerful, prospering touch. And whatever my hand finds to do, I'm going to bless it. Listen to what he says. And blessed shall all the work of thy hands be, and thou shalt lend unto many nations and not borrow. God rebuked me in the last few months. In February, I bought a truck. I bought a nice truck. I bought an F-250 Lariat. They're my Ford buddies. Amen to me again. He's got the same truck I got. That thing hums. Sometimes it sounds just as good as the praise team to me. And I said, God, thank you for blessing me with my truck. And God said, that ain't your truck. I said, well, I drive it. I got the key. He said, don't make payments for 60 days and we'll find out whose truck it is. Because, see, I got about 48 more months to pay on that truck before it's my truck. I was the first one to say when I moved into my new house 5 years ago, thank you, God, for giving me this house. And God said, that ain't your house. For the next 30 years, it's your slave driver. You've got what we call a mortgage, which is where we get our word mortuary. Debt is where we get our word death. And so we are enslaved. And so God said, when you, my goal, he said, my vision above all things is that you would prosper, success on your journey, success in reaching your goal. But he said, one of the reasons I need you to be success in your business is I don't want you to be a slave to debt. I don't want you to owe people. Come on, you owe the heathen. You owe secular company. I need you to get out of debt. And if you'll do what I called you to do, I'm going to get you out of debt so that you don't owe nobody but to love them. And listen, you literally become a bank, and then you start giving and loaning and being a conduit for God to move through you. I'm preaching at us because I got a mortgage. I got a couple car notes, but I'm moving towards none of that. Let me tell you where I bought my house in 2013. It was foreclosed. The bank owned it. We made multiple offers. Someone outbid us twice. The bank called me back and said, our last offer fell through. Do you still want to give what you wanted? I said, I still want the house, but I'm going to offer you $20,000 less. They said, why? I said, evidently you can't sell that house. I said, not only are you going to take $20,000 less, but I'm not paying any closing, zero closing costs. That's all on you. You're the bank. I moved into a house in 2013, 4,000 square feet, foreclosed by the bank. No closing costs, $20,000 less. Lived in it for 5 years, sold it last July, made 40% of my money. I bought land 2 years ago that has increased 2 times per acre in 2 years. It is unheard of. I could sell everything I have and be the most blessed I've ever been. And that's where God is moving me, because when I wake up, every time I pay Ford, every time I pay Marion State Bank, that's right, State Bank, every time I pay to them, I'm reminded this is not God's goal for me. My goal is not to wake up every day, work my finger to the bone to pay somebody more. Listen, if we pay a 30-year mortgage, we're paying twice what the home is worth. That's not God's plan. God said, my vision for you is to be prosperous in all. That's why Brother Leo, Sister Aisha, Sister Dolly have been taking so many Living Way families and community families the last 9 weeks through Financial Peace University. Because once we get out of debt, think of what we can do with that money. Think of what we could do for missions. Think of how many wells we could dig. Think of how much money we could give to St. Jude's to cure cancer. Think of all we could do in San Antonio. Wouldn't it be great if we became known as the church that paid other churches off? That said, how much you owe on that building? Here you go. We just want to be a blessing. Pay that building off and let's fill them up and get people saved. Crazy vision. We're not in competition with them. They're our friends. We're all on the same team. I'd love Living Way to be that church that pays other churches off. Not lending money, giving money. Not owing anybody, but love and giving to them. The second thing he says, that you would prosper and be in health. Health in the Greek means two things. A wellness in body. It is God's will that you be healthy. It is God's will that you don't have cancer. It is God's will that you don't bow down to arthritis just because you're 72. It is God's will that your joints work just as good at 85 as they did at 15. It is God's will that you don't have to live with back pain. It is God's will that you don't have to pay big co-pays for drugs to put in your body that are not curing anything. They're just making life livable and not living above where God has called you to be. That is not God's will. I am here to tell you today, by the end of this year, shoot, by the end of this month, there's going to be some reports in this building because of the faith that you have hearing the word of God, that you're not going to need those drugs anymore, that prescriptions are no longer going to be a part of your life. You're going to be down here dancing harder than these 14 and 16 year olds do. You're going to be living your best life of health now. Last 2 years of my life, I sleep about 4 hours a night. That's by choice. I've almost reached the sleep elite level, 2 hours or less. 2% of the world lives on 2 hours of sleep or less. Most of the successful people I know sleep on under 4 hours a night. But in those 4 hours, I promise you I wake up 20 times because of my back. And I just lay there. And sometimes I'll just accidentally nudge Mandy so she wakes up. You awake? I am now. You just elbowed me in the forehead. Now, it's not God's will that I lay there and then I wake up tired, and then I gotta warm up my back a good 90 minutes before I do anything. That's not God's will. But when I wake up now, I thank God, it is your will, your expectation. Above all else, God, you want me to prosper. You want me to be successful in my journey, successful in reaching my goals, success in my business affairs. But God, your expectation is that I live healthy. Why? Because I am too valuable. You are too valuable to the kingdom of God to be laid up in the bed on your back, to go from hospital to doctor visit to hospital to doctor visit. You are too valuable to have to go through cancer treatment for weeks on end at a time and poison your body. And I've lived watching people do that in my heart. Heart goes out to them, but there is a better way. There is a living way. And God wakes me up saying, Brandon, you don't have to. And so for about the last 3 weeks, I've been sleeping like a baby. And instead of waking up every 10 minutes, I wake up about every 45 minutes. But I'm sleeping good, y'all. Why? Because I just made it up in my mind. God, I'm not going to live like this anymore. If your expectation for me, if your vision for me is health, then that's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to be wealthy. I'm going to be wise. Why? Because it is your will to heal me, to prosper me, and for me to be in perfect health. Give me about 5 more minutes. To be in health, also in the Greek, not only wellness in body, but wellness in doctrine. I'm going to be real careful here because this is where I got sideways in the first service. Doctrine, the choir's laughing because they know exactly what happened. Wellness in the body is one thing. Wellness in doctrine. Well in doctrine, doctrine or a doctrinal thought is simply what we believe. What we believe shapes what we do. And when we believe something to a point of action, that's where faith takes over. And a lot of people are doing the wrong things because they believe the wrong thing. You say, church, you see, church, because I believe a certain thing, it causes me to do certain things that normally I would not do. And because I believe in Jesus in a certain way, in his word and his promises and his covenant and my call as a leader, and I answer that call, because I believe that certain way, there are certain places I don't go, certain things I don't do, certain things I don't put in my body, certain people I don't hang around with, certain people I don't allow in my house, certain people that when I meet them, that's the last time I want to see them until I get to heaven. Because I know that if I hang around with them, they're going to change what I believe. And if they can ever change what I believe and what I'm thinking in my heart, they can change and actually manipulate me to act a certain way. And so when God says, my expectation is for you to be healthy, he said, not only in your body, but I need you to be healthy in your mind so that what you believe starts literally shaping how you live. I do a lot of weddings for buddies from high school. Some of them I'm on their second and third wedding. It's a pretty good gig. I get paid $500 for each of their weddings, and some of them are on their third weddings. You say, why would you do that? You're a pastor. It's a job once I leave here. It's not my calling. It's a job. They need an efficient. I'll be the efficient. $500, let's go. Third wife, $1,500. Man, this is great. Don't judge. You do the same thing. So I sit down, a lot of rednecks. All their wedding rehearsal dinners are at like Salt Lick. It's a great barbecue. So I do it for the 500. I do it for the barbecue. Salt Lick has a problem, though. They have BYOB. You can bring in coolers of beer. So all my friends start drinking. When they start drinking, I start packing up my stuff. Because the last thing I'm going to do is be tagged in one of their photos. And there's 20 people at the table, and there's 26 bottles of beer, and from the angle, it looks like I got four, and I just slammed four down in front of me, and I'm not going to have you questioning me out in the lobby on how I spent my Friday night. Listen, I got my $500, I got my sweet tea, and I'm back at home with Mandy, I promise you. Cross my heart. I'm trying not to get sideways. That's why I've slowed down. I've slowed down. So a friend of mine said, you want a beer brand? I said, no, I don't. He said, you don't drink? I said, I don't drink. He said, why not? I said, it's just not something. My who I am doesn't need alcohol. I'm good without it. Your personality might need it to loosen up. I don't need none of that. But he said, so you think you're better than me? I said, I'm not better than you. I'm just smarter than you. I'm not better than you, I'm just sober-minded. And because I'm sober-minded, I see the devil when he comes. I didn't preach all of that to him. I was thinking that, though. But I did tell him this. You see, I'm a pastor. And does drinking send you to hell? I'm not here to make that have that discussion. That's between you and God. But I will tell you that any time that the Bible talks about being drunk, it is in a negative context. And the only way that you get drunk is to start drinking. Every drunk and alcoholic started off as a social drinker. Why do you need alcohol to live a social life? Your friends and fellowship should be good enough without substances added. And if you have to add substances, then you're adding something that God should be taking that place. So this is what I told him. I said, it's not that I can't, and can I is not the word. I'm a pastor. I lead hundreds of people. On the path to morality. More important than that, I'm a youth pastor. I deal with young people. And what I do in moderation, my followers will always do in excess. What I do publicly, they're already in their mind going to think, if he does that publicly, what does he do privately? And so the question now is not, can I do this and go to heaven? Or can I do this and mature as a believer? It's never can I. It turns into, should I? I know I can do it, but should I do that? I've got a 15-year-old that's watching every move I make, listening to every word I speak. And I promise you, with the way that we live our lives, if I throw back a couple beers with my barbecue when I'm away, not at my house, Tyler's going to throw back 15 just because that's what 15-year-olds do. So it ain't in my house. It's not in my house. Why? Because my belief changes what I do. My belief. Let's just be honest, too. Some of your money problems are not because you don't make enough money. It's because you're spending $60 every Friday night down at the club drinking alcohol. Maybe it's because I stand behind all these rednecks every, and I'm out in the country a lot. I stand behind these rednecks at Valero stations, and it just kills me. Give me $5 on pump three, and give me four packs of Marlboro Reds. Well, bro, you just spent like $26 on cigarettes, and you put $5 of diesel in a truck that's just going to get you down to the next convenience store so you can buy another can of Skoal, or you can buy you a 40. I don't understand this. It's not a fact. And so what I believe changes me. If I'm going to get out of debt, I can't do that. If I'm going to live a healthy lifestyle, I can't do that. If I'm a mature as a believer, I can't go there. If I'm a mature as a disciple, I can't spend time with them. I can't date them. I can't live with them. I can't do all of these things. Is awakened in me at the phrase when Jesus said, above all, I want you to be in health. I want you to believe right so that you do right. Pastor Becky, if you'll come, put some pressure on me. Come on. Number three, we read this so backwards. And I say we because I've read it for so many years. We've read this as three things that God wants us to do, and his expectation is to prosper, to be in health, and have our soul prosper. That is not how this reads at all. There are two things that God wants. God wants us to prosper. God wants us to be in health. But remember, I told you that for prosperity, we have to have a responsibility. That God will not bless us beyond our responsibility. That if you want more from God, that you're going to have to prove yourself more responsible to God. That God, whatever you hand me will not handle me. It will not manage me, but I will manage it. So when we talk about soul, we're talking about the heart, the life, emotions, and mind. And so when we talk about soul prospers, we have to realize, I love what Cruz Ramirez said, the soul is the center of human control. The way that we would say it is this, the spirit, our spirit is God control. But the soul is human control. Emotions. How many of you know someone who's emotional? Emotions don't get you anywhere. When we say things like that person has no soul, what we really mean is they don't have any control. They've lost control. Man's first choice was a bad choice in Genesis 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying of this, every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not even eat of it, for the day you do, you will die. That was man's first choice. That was a soul choice. That was a carnal choice. Our daily choice, Jesus tells us in Mark 8:34, when he called the people unto him, which with his disciples also he said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Deny your emotions, come on. Deny what your heart. You say, well, I'm just going to follow my heart. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful. Don't follow your heart, follow the spirit. Heart is a soul issue. That's why I think it's very important when we say, I'm inviting Jesus into my heart. I'm inviting Jesus into a deceitful place within me so that it is not deceitful anymore. Heart, mind, emotions. Our daily choice is to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow Jesus. Our prosperity and our health, which is God's ideal, his design, his vision for us, it hinges on one thing and one thing only. This is what Pastor Becky's taught me for 37 years, our choices. Now when we read 3 John 1, 2, it reads like this. Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, comma, even as or at the same level as your soul or your decision making or your emotional state or your heart desires. Meaning this, I am only as good as my most recent choice because every choice I make moves me to prosperity or away from prosperity. Every choice I make leads me to health and my belief and my personal well-being or away from it. And so God says this, All of creation is hinging. We're looking, we're groaning, we're anticipating on what kind of choices Brandon is going to make today. Because if I make the best choices, church, prosperity finds me. Health finds me. My belief is secure in Jesus. Who I am is secure in Jesus. If my belief is right, then what I do is right. If what I do is right, then what I see is right. If what I see is right, then everybody around me gets to enjoy a part of the prosperity and the health that God has brought me to. Stand on your feet. I want to read two more scriptures for your consideration. John 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make that a declaration of your in your prayer every day, every morning. As for me and my house. You say, I'm single. As for you and your house. You're in that house. You're not going to be single forever if you desire to be married. Make your house a place of prosperity and health before you bring somebody into it. And when you bring the right person into it, they're going to add even more prosperity, more health. Deuteronomy 30:19, I love this. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed, your children, your children's children, may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that you would obey his voice, that you would cleave to him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, and that thou would dwell in the land that the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. Your choices today, your choices tomorrow, are going to unleash prosperity in your life in a brand new way. Unleash health in a brand new way. Or your choices will literally snatch and rob every good thing. Quit giving the devil so much credit. He is a defeated foe. Amen. Anything we give him is just that. We've given him. Any authority he has, you've given it to him. Any space, any place in your life, you've given it to him. And so that's why every day I have to remind him, you are under my feet. You're not in my ear. You're not in my head. This is not a house of fear. That's an emotion. That's a soul issue. And I choose not to be afraid. I choose not to doubt. I choose not to worry. I choose to pray, to read the word. I choose to serve. I choose to go to church 2 or 3 times a week. Why? Because it helps me solidify my beliefs. I choose to tithe and give. Why? Because I'm not going to be held a hostage of hoarding and selfishness. I'm going to be a giver so that God can bring prosperity and health into my life. Before I open up this altar to anyone else, I want to ask you the most important question you'll ever be asked. Deborah George changed my life with this one statement. Are you sure you're going to heaven? In the first service, a wonderful young...